translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna? Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet in order to award it to Lord Shiva. As a worshipful welcome, this very water, the Ganges, is purifying the whole universe, including Lord Shiva. Purport. The conception of many gods in the Vedic literatures by the ignorant is completely wrong. The Lord is one without second, but he expands himself in many ways, and this is confirmed in the Vedas. Such expansions of the Lord are limitless, but some of them are the living entities. The living entities are not as powerful as the Lord's plenary expansions, and therefore there are two different types of expansions. Lord Brahma is generally one of the living entities, and Lord Shiva is the via medium between the Lord and the living entities. In other words, even demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are the chief amongst the demigods, are never equal to or greater than Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and all-powerful demigods like Brahma and Shiva are engaged in the worship of Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Therefore, who can be more powerful than Mukunda, Lord Krishna, to be factually called the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are not independently powerful. They are powerful as expansions of the Lord, and all of them are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and so also are the living entities. There are four sects. There are four sects of worshipful devotees of the Lord, and the chief amongst them is the Brahma Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, and the Sri Sampradaya, descending directly from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, respectively. Besides the above mentioned three sampradayas, there is the Kumara Sampradaya, descending from Sanatan Kumar. All of the four original sampradayas are still scrupulously engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord up to date, and they all declare Lord Krishna Mukunda is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no other personality is equal to him or greater than him. Om Adhyana Timmarandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshon Milatam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupatru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha. So, I'd like to ask for your blessings and help in this. This is so interesting verse to comment on, because I don't know anything particularly about these different sampradayas other than they worship the Supreme Lord, and they follow their path as Vaishnavas. They worship the Supreme. And so there are different avenues to worship the Lord, but they come to a loving relationship to him, whether it be in the current Brahma, Madhava, Chaitanya Sampradaya, we follow, somehow or other, it's been understood that, because of this special age, we have, a special opportunity brought to us by Lord Chaitanya. Right. So, here, I just been given as there's a sampradaya which is given in the Bhagavad Gita and I think the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it lists all the acharyas, he's Prabhupada mentions here, my Guru Maharaj was in the 10th generation of Lord Chaitanya. So we are the 11th from Lord Chaitanya, the disciple succession. Then he lists all the acharyas down through all I think it's 28, which is Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada himself as the current acharya for ourselves in ISKCON. Now, I won't go through all the names of the intermediate acharyas, but they're there. And so there is a disciplic succession. It's not all apparent in that it's a shiksha line. They weren't necessarily gurus of one or the other, but they were passing on, as acharyas, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that was from the letter from Bhaktivedanta Swami to Upendra. So he says that basically we are connected and we're a Shiksha Sampradaya, but we follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are current. And so then he says here, actually I'll refer to the previous verse, text 20, which was somehow or other telling us, it says here in chapter 18, text 20, it is now ascertained that he, the personality of Godhead, is unlimited and no one is equal to him. And consequently, no one can speak of him adequately. Great demigods cannot obtain the favor of the goddess of fortune, even by prayers. But this very goddess renders service unto the Lord, although he's unwilling to have such service. Now that's interesting. It occurred to me that she's still offering the prayers, that even though he's unwilling to seem to accept it. And it's almost a strange situation because she's not us, she's giving a service that's not asked for. And usually we come through authority. It's like through guru. So if he asks you for a cup of water and you bring him orange juice, you're not following his instruction. You thought it was better. So in a strange way, her service wasn't accepted, actually. Though it was, she was still trying to connect with him in her way. And I found this interesting. But when the goddess of fortune was engaged in the purposeful service of the Lord. And I'm looking at the pastime of Sudama Vipra. Amazing pastime. If you get a chance to read about Sudama Vipra, Lord Krishna's friend from childhood, and how he came to visit him. And he was pushed by his wife. She was saying, look, we're so poor, you know, and you have a good friend in Lord Krishna. Why don't you go and visit him and ask him for a bit of help? But he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to use his position as an old friend, as a lot of people may do nowadays. But he didn't want to do that. He thought, if Krishna helps me, what happens? That, you know, whatever he gives, that I may not, it may affect my devotional service. And if he gives me any sort of opulence, I will be, maybe changed from my path and influenced, and that somehow I will lose touch with the Supreme Lord and not depend on him entirely. In other ways, that I can't do it. I can't ask special favor. I can't do it. But his wife really pushed him. Look, we're starving. Please. So at the plea of his wife, he went to Lord Krishna. And this wonderful sequence of the two verses, the journey to Lord Krishna, and also meeting Lord Krishna and being benedicted, was just a wonderful pastime, because it showed actually that such a humble soul was somehow, he didn't want anything from Krishna. And even he brought a gift for Lord Krishna. And Krishna, he says, have you brought some gift for me? When Sudama got to him, he said, he didn't want to say. He said, well, what are you hiding behind your back? And it was some chipped rice, which they managed to beg to use as a gift for Lord Krishna. And his wife, Rukmini Devi, herself a goddess of fortune, she saw Lord Krishna take that. But then as he was about to take the second mouthful of this chipped rice, this burnt rice, she grabbed the hand of Lord Krishna and took it for herself. Because such was it relishable. You know, this offering by his pure devotee, that somehow it's not necessarily what you've got in terms of opulence to offer the Lord. It's that which is simply you've given what you got. You know, whether it be in your service or materially speaking, you've done the best. And it doesn't discriminate in that way, rich, poor, or otherwise. You've just done what you can do. And this is a very wonderful pastime. So, but what happened, somehow or other, when Sudama Vipra, he got back from his visit to Lord Krishna, he saw this palace. And his wife running out to meet him, looking beautiful like a goddess of fortune. And he says, what's happened? What's happened? And she said, you know, we were given all this. We've become transformed. Lord Krishna has come to us, and the goddess of fortune has come to us and given us all this opulence. And she looked like the goddess of fortune herself. And then Sudama Vipra says, he thought, only my friend Lord Krishna
could do such a thing. And he was so captivated. But even at the risk, he thought this opulence would turn his head. Somehow Krishna thought him worthy. Why? Because he didn't want it. That was his qualification. And that's what gave him the good fortune. He didn't want his worship affected by any opulences other than his accepted situation.
Shri Shri Radha Gokulnanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So in this way, the goddess of fortune, her prayers weren't accepted because he wasn't asking for them. Generally, we have to follow the guidance that we're asked to do in our lives, in our services. And that is the main thing, that it's not whether or not we want it or a thing, but it's been given to you by an authority. That somebody's asking you to do something, whether you're suited or not suited, it's good. You know, like the spiritual master when they have a brahmachari, the character of service is built. He says that this is the main thing. And what is this character? And we call it Chaitanya. It's the character of the living force. It means that we're a servant, nothing else. And that we're a servant of circumstance of the Supreme Lord. Now, I'll just read to you from Prabhupada's letter. And I like this letter, because he tells us, and I've read this several times, but in different contexts. It says here, it's December 19th, letter to Jayapataka Swami. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever I'm meant to be doing, I'm doing it. So, let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service, never mind what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten, and only my desire to do the best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. So a wonderful verse. What a simple verse of the surrender to Krishna. Whatever I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. Like we're all sitting together here, and somehow or other, we're listening to the words of Prabhupada. And these words are powerful. They're telling us, and he's our acharya, that what path to tread. And so we must tread the path of authority, which is not necessarily our authority, like Mother Lakshmi was trying to do. She was trying to do prayers that were not asked for. So he didn't need them. You know, it was like, you know, why are you doing this? You know, but actually, in her own way, that was her way. You know, like people go to church, they offer their prayers every Sunday, isn't it? With some, but not all know the content of the prayers or thinking of the prayers. It could be just like almost like a parrot fashion. But somehow or other, Krishna wants our heart. He wants to know that you know the meaning, and you want to express the meaning to him in some way that's very, very personal. So we go through the prayers of the acharyas, and they're wonderful prayers because they're going to help us. But we must do it in such a way that we can identify with that prayer.
that somehow or other this is telling me a way that I should be praying, and it's come from our acharyas, and because it's come from our acharyas, we're connected. We have their power. It's not our power. It's their empowerment that is giving us power. And I remember Srimati Devi Dasi, she gave a very nice lecture on chanting the holy names. And she said, first, before chanting the holy names, we must call upon the acharyas as a prayer to help us connect with them in their worship and of the Lord, that somehow or other, that our connection with them, if we ask for their help, we will get it. But if we don't, we can't get it because we've not asked for it. So we can lose maybe 10, she quantified it in a certain percentage. We lose a percentage of that help we may get from our previous acharyas. They're there. And they're living in their sound and their messages, their vani. And so for us to connect with them and to get their empowerment, it will empower or give us strength in our faith and whatever we need to do in our prayers. So it's a submissive request. So that's what I'm trying to do here. And these sampradayas, different sampradayas, different you could say worship, but all worshipping the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, in the different sampradayas. So, not superior, but it's according to what they've been born with and what they've been given, as Prabhupada says. A surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. And so, then, we have a very nice situation, and if I could find it here, different opinions. It's a letter, again, Srila Prabhupada. Regarding your request about Krishna's name, now I'll tell you who it's from at the end actually. The first principle is that Krishna is absolute. He is not only identical with his name, but with his qualities, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, etc. Krishna is identical with the whole creation because the creation means expansion of Krishna's energy. The energy is never different from the source of the energy, as much as heat, light are different from the fire. The quality of fire is there existing both in the heat and the light. Naturally, Krishna is not different from anything, and what to speak of his transcendental name. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, everything is resting on me, but I am not everything. This simultaneous oneness and difference in the philosophy should be carefully understood, then our Krishna consciousness will be clear, more clear. So, what we can understand is basically that everything comes as the mercy of Krishna, whatever we've got now, and it's his energy that is supporting us, and we're actually dependent on that energy for his support. But if we're materially motivated, we lose that, because then we become dependent on the material energy, which is a temporary energy. But if we depend on the supreme independent, then we become independent
from the material energy and dependent on the Lord. So this is the one that is slightly, it's a paradox really. Our dependence on the Lord is our independence from the material influence. And so that's our supreme independence and dependence. Better depend on Krishna than to depend on the material energy. So put your dependence somewhere where it's valuable and will last forever. So I'll stop there. Okay, any comments, questions? Has it got a mic? Just now coming, I think.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very sweet class. I just have a question that I need clarification on, and it's regard to service. So like you said, that we should accept everything as the arrangement of Krishna. Mm. But like, let's say hypothetically, should you continue doing your service if for example, like let's say there's a wife and she's serving her husband, and every time she goes to serve him food, he's slapping her or he's abusing her. In that situation, should she accept everything as Krishna's arrangement and continue her service? Or is there something else that she should do in that regard to continue her service?
Yeah. I can't speak for the person. But I can speak where I know this has happened on two occasions. And they're a Vaishnava family, and yet somehow there's been some imposition or misconception of the superiority of the male. That the wife should always do what the male says. It's a misconception. It's not spiritual. It's based on the bodily platform. So we should understand that basically we're all spirit souls and we're in a body of a man or a woman, not superior, but different bodies, much like a tiger has a different body. You know, you don't hug a tiger, you know, that sort of thing. You know, it's different body. You get your head bitten off. Now, likewise, there are misunderstandings of the philosophy where there's been difficulties in families. And it could happen the other way round, actually. Mental cruelty is a terrible thing if it comes from the woman's side. It says in the Bible, and it's in the teachings of Solomon, he says, beware of a contesting woman. Always contesting. You know, no peace. No happiness in the family. They're dissatisfied. And I think it is in one of our sampradayas. I can't remember where it was, Ramanuja. Well, when he was married, I can't remember who it was in particular, but it may be Ramanuja. And she was always contesting. And any guests that came round, she used to badmouth them and get them to go away. she didn't want him. So it's what we're looking at. It can happen from both sides, actually. A woman has a powerful influence on a gentleman, you know, a gentle man. But she may not be a gentle person in her own right. And so they may suffer in that way. But individually, it's not down to man or woman. It's just down to the abuse of one's position and influence. And that's what we're looking at, and we shouldn't be doing, because we're actually all spirit souls. When we get married, say I was married, and I didn't know this philosophy then, that this woman is not your servant. She's Krishna's servant. And likewise, the woman, she doesn't think her husband as her servant. He's Krishna's servant. And this is a place of peace, because we should understand our position relative to Krishna, that we're all servants of Krishna. And we should just always understand that we're all part and parcels of Krishna, his expanding bliss. That the small souls, actually, is very wonderful, because in the spiritual world, Krishna wants to be controlled by his devotee. He wants that. He wants Mother Yashoda to control him. It's his pastime, and it's lovely. And so it's full of taste for Krishna. But this is why bhakti is so special, because Krishna won't surrender to anyone unless they're trustworthy, because he surrenders to his devotee. So we have to become trustworthy for Krishna. Every one of us, we have to be trustworthy. So, you know, because bhakti is a very special gift. And if we're given it, then that Krishna will be able to trust us in his helplessness. As we are, as the pujaris are on the altar, they feed Krishna, they dress Krishna, they wash him, they do everything for him. He's there in his helpless form, Archa Vigraha. And the pacharis, he depends on his servants that depart to look after him. This is the spiritual world. This is the whole understanding of deity worship. It's for us to understand how Krishna, that we can serve Krishna intimately, and he's depending on us, depending for his each meal. And how we cook for him and all this sort of thing. It's just very wonderful, tattva. And yet he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is being explained here. He's supreme. But in his supremacy, he's got nothing to fear anyway. Except he wants pastimes. He wants love and affection, which the devotee can give him. Chaitanya Bhagavat, it speaks of that. Chaitanya Charitamrita, always. The devotees, their affection for each other is also affection for Krishna. And we have to develop this relationship with each other in such a way that we know our characters, we know what we like. One's bossy, one's not so like this. And why are you always telling me what to do? We quarrel, don't we? But we accept it, because we get to know each other. And, you know, so what? Life's too short to argue over who's doing what, who's arguing with what. It's just not worth it. What matters more, and it was said to me, is before I came to the manor, what matters more, most of all, is our relationship with each other, not in our opinion. It's our relationship, because there are different opinions, different persons, different characters. And that's the variegatedness of the spiritual world. This is the spiritual world we're in. Nothing else. The pastimes are enacted amongst ourselves.
And you know, we go like this sometimes. Oh, what's happening? Oh, why are you doing that? You know, you just sort of think, oh, well, because sometimes we're crazy, isn't it? But as long as we're crazy for Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for a wonderful class. And I was just reading that pastime you mentioned today, 2 days ago, so I very much enjoyed reading it. I guess my question is, you mentioned that before we start chanting the holy names, this is more like of a practical question. We should call for the help of the acharyas. How do we do that?
You look up at these pictures. You look at Prabhupada. And what do you see, or what's the feeling you get when you see them?
Spiritual master, it's someone I respect, someone I want to learn from, someone I need help from.
Yeah. And in that, but what else do you get from them, which is given to them from Krishna?
It's knowledge and love and devotion.
Yeah, they're Shakti. Krishna's Shakti. Power, empowerment. They act as a via medium. They're passing it on like going down through a pipe. They're just passing on Krishna's mercy. Their position, one is absolute humility. When that means surrender, you give your life. You're trying to save your life, isn't it? Surrender to Krishna. That's what they do on the battlefield. I'm helpless now. We realize on the battlefield, so we surrender, isn't it? We have to put our life in Krishna's hands. Surrender. Sharanagati.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I don't know if it sort of makes sense, but that's the empowerment you get. One of humility. And they're empowered by the Lord, and it's the Lord's power that gives them the Shakti. It's His power and His knowledge. Okay, I think we better finish here. Is that okay? Is there one other question? Okay, that wasn't a question. No. Okay. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Guru Maharaj ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanand. Hari Hari Bol.